Warning, the following content occasionally contains adult themes and language, which is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Cinematic Rewind. Joining me today to talk about the film Midsommar is Regent.
Gone on, everybody.
And Monster.
What's up, podcast world?
All right. Like I said, we are talking about the movie Midsommar, which has a 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, an 83 on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 72 on Metacritic. This is a film I had seen a lot about and heard a lot about. It's not something I was ever really interested in, but since it was brought up for the podcast, of course, I gave it a watch, and that is what we're going to be talking about today. Now, was this a film that you guys had seen before? Has you seen a lot about it? Like, what's your history with the film? And I'll go to you first, Munster.
I would actually say it's almost 100% what you said. I heard a lot of talk about it. I follow a ton of movie YouTube review pages and also some on social media, and they kept bringing it up and they were talking so much about it. But the main thing was about how you don't want to look too much into it because it will spoil a lot of the plot twist, or not necessarily plot twist, but a lot of things behind the scenes in the movie. I was interested in that part, but it was definitely one of those, whenever I get to it, I'll watch it. And it's the same way when it was brought up for the podcast. I was like, okay, cool. This is finally a good time to finally watch it.
What about you, Regent?
I mean, I'm pretty much in the same boat as the both of you. The only real difference for me was that I did see a lot of the trailer commercials for this movie coming out. So during 2019, a lot of horror movies were going off the uneasiness effect. Basically, they play a trailer where it makes you feel slightly uncomfortable. And that was the new way of trying to drive the, oh, what happens next? I have to go watch the movie and find out. Never, at least when those trailers came out, it piqued my interest of like, ooh, what's this movie about? But never really push the pedal of, I need to go see this movie in theaters when it comes out day one. It was the same boat as months, like, I'll get around to watching when it comes out on DVD, or if one of my colleagues through my work has it in 4K, they would hand off to me to watch it and give it back to them.
Okay, so we all are in very, very similar boats. Now, I did have one more piece of history to share, and that is I had heard a little bit more in depth about like the nature of this film, like the scares and whatnot, from Alex, who had seen it and turned it off because they couldn't handle the film, which is completely understandable just due to its content. I will say, me watching it, I was very surprised that it was categorized as a horror and not just a thriller, because to me, this isn't really a horror, it's a thriller. I was not scared whatsoever watching this. I was watching it in the dark, alone, undistracted, and I just didn't find it at all spooky. It was more unsettling and just kind of like gross to watch. But other than that, it wasn't that bad.
I think you're spot on with it. By near the end, I was like, I know it's going to get darker, but it never felt like a horror darker. I felt like it was a psychological thriller. I know we're going to deep dive into it because we left notes in our own personal Discord about it. For me, it was definitely in the psychological thriller. Even if it was like psychological horror, sure. But when I saw it say horror, even by the end of the film, I was like, it's not what I traditionally would consider horror. I think it was passable as saying it, but I still, once again, think it's more like mental and not a physical horror.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm against Venture on this one, because it is more psychological horror. It really comes down to what your interpretation of horror is, because for most people, like Munster and my generation, your horror was slasher thrillers. It was someone chasing after you, trying to kill you. It's an unstoppable force, and you don't know what to do. The horror in this is more of the mindset of this type of ritual aspect has happened in history in various parts of the world. And the fact that it's realism, because there's actually paper history behind it, that's kind of where the horror is, the fact that it factually has happened and it's a legitimate thing. And I think that's kind of where the horror part is coming in, because it's trying to change the perspective of what horror has been accustomed to all these years. But the movie itself definitely felt more psychological and thought-provoking. For at least this movie and I think two of his other works, you have to really pay attention to what's going on in the background to really start putting pieces together like a puzzle. And then the bigger picture of the horror elements that he's trying to push in this film really start to come to light. And then it starts to feel a little uneasy, but then you also start understanding the logic behind it, and you're like, okay, that's actually kind of impressive.
Yeah, and I like to bounce off Regent. I think that was a great way to explain it, is that that's And we've talked about it before with our horror movies. That's where more of that type of horror for me is, because of that history with slasher films. Like, I've seen a plenty of the 90s horrors and some of the 2000s. But I think what happened for me was they started becoming more like paranormal and stuff like that. And I mean, Conjuring started being big and things like that doesn't interest me as much as the more realistic ones, because that to me scares me more because of it's actually possible. Like this, the stuff they did in this film actually could happen. And I think that's why it messed with me more, because in real life, if you were to be secluded and you'd be that far away from a town, from a phone, you are fucked. And at a certain point in the movie, oh, there was no doubt no one was going to survive. It felt like it was just more like, okay, well, how are you just what are they going to do to you? Because if you were to run away, there was enough space that they were going to catch up to you. Even if all of them decided to run away in the beginning of the film, they were all going to get captured and essentially get roped up until it was time to sacrifice them.
And it's funny you mention that, because there's actually a theory / different perspective about this movie I want to talk about later that can really change the dynamic of what you just said.
See, I get all your points about, like, it's more of a traditional, like, psychological horror. But to me, when I watch a horror film of any kind, the unsettling feeling should invoke feelings of fear. And the problem is that just didn't happen. Was I uneasy? Absolutely. But that's a given when you see someone get their face smashed in, or when you see they're having, like, a commune where they're all helping this one couple have sex. Like, that's kind of a given when that shit happens that you're gonna be uneasy.
Yeah, I think the difference is, though, is this is when it starts becoming relative to people's horror. You know, it's kind of like people who ride a lot of roller coasters probably can watch a movie with a lot of crazy jumping action and just, like, not affect it. Where someone who, let's say, is more reserved, is not really an adrenaline seeker, they probably couldn't watch someone jump out of a helicopter visually on the screen because it would have their heart racing. I think it's kind of like that, is that it's very relative to your experience and what affects you. Because I know one other piece to add is, for me, the other part that was fear was, once again, part of realism is, especially in the real world, I'm actually Black. This reminded me of stuff like Get Out, where it was, once again, being secluded. It just, once again, that uneasy feeling of being the odd man out, it's a good chance you're gonna die. And it was just, once again, one of that, like, scary feeling of being secluded, being outnumbered. Everybody, and not just, and the only reason why I bring up me being Black is just, once again, for, like, Get Out. It's like, when you go into the country and you're around a ton of white people you don't know, it's scary to me.
That also became a horror movie trope for the better part of 2 decades, where if you were a person of color in the movie, particularly Black, you were typically the first one to go to set the pace and motion for the movie, or you were towards the middle of the pack as one of the more gruesome horror effects, or you were a disappearing person and you came back found later mutilated. There was just a lot of horror movie tropes based around that aspect.
So I do understand where you come from, Venture, because I know typically whenever we do horror, all three of us rarely are on the same page for horror. So I just wanted to put that in there, is that I think for you, it doesn't affect you as much, maybe because of your history of watching films like these, or maybe just not affected by that stuff in general.
I think it's a mix of both, to where it's like, this just isn't what I need in order to feel, like, scared. And that's what I look for, is for either to me to dwell on it well after I watch the film, like you said in one of our previous horror movie episodes on Gonjium, where you said you want to think about it after and, you know, maybe have a little bit of trouble sleep. I didn't get that with this.
Yeah, and that's the exact opposite. Like, I thought about it for a little bit, and I knew of other movies that have done similar disposals of the characters in the movie, and did make me feel a little uneasy, but it didn't make me feel like I go to sleep and wake up like, oh crap, this is going to happen to me. Whereas Gonjium, like I said in that episode, I've seen plenty of other horror movies that have done the stuff that has been happened before in that type of movie, and when you see that type of same theme so much, you become disenfranchised to it. So it doesn't affect you at a core level like other forms of horror will.
And to kind of round it out, this is a perfect example. So the reason for me why it sticks with me is in the real world, I like to travel. And sometimes I am like the only person of color in certain friend groups. And, you know, in the past, people have invited me to their family gatherings. And sometimes it's just awkward in a funny kind of way where it's like they might have traditions where I'm just like, for my culture, we laugh at this, but I can respect because I don't know nothing about this. But I think that's why ultimately where it was like being in a large group of people where you're very different, but you're also secluded. That to me actually can happen. To the extent of this, I probably would have saw some red flags, but I mean, at the same time, we don't know how much of the history. You could have someone you're friends with who does these kind of creepy things in their own private life, and now you're going to go out of the country into a secluded area, and you didn't even know they were pretty much grooming you to sacrifice you.
Yeah, in another country that you've never been in.
But with that, I think we've kind of covered how, like, the horror affects people differently, and I'd like to jump into the actual film. I will say the beginning of the film was more of a horror to me, in where you have, like, this nice introduction to characters and parents and loss and tragedy very early on, and just Danny crying, like, as the sound for introduction to a scene, and you see him walking through the snow, and all you hear is her broken hearted scream. That to me was unsettling, just because it's like this eerie setting where the horror again is tragedy, and I really cling to that as horror goes. So to me, the beginning of the film was more my cup of tea, and I feel like that setup was actually pretty good for what was to follow. It's just not what I would have liked to follow it.
I can understand that. The beginning was interesting to me, but I feel like it didn't pay off. It wasn't horror for me per se. It was more like I really wanted to know where this was going to take to, because with all that happening, I had a couple things going in my head, like, oh, okay, is this going to be something that messes with her for the rest of the film? Is she going to be haunted? Is it going to be kind of one of those things where like her parents went to this festival years ago and this essentially is what happens to you down the road? You kill yourself. I started brainstorming a lot of stuff and none of it paid off. I hate to say it, it's not that I forgot once I got to the second half, but I kind of hate to say it, almost didn't care anymore because it just wasn't part of the plot anymore that I saw.
But what plot? That's one of my issues about the film, is like there was no concrete story to grab onto. And yes, you can say like, oh, there are a bunch of college students going to go work on their thesis in Sweden and then they get sacrificed. But to me, it seems like they started off very character-based storytelling with Danny's loss. And then they kind of transferred over to a quick story about Christian and his friend group. And then it went back to Danny for a little bit, but then it kind of like went right back to the friend group for the rest of the film. Like Danny became a side character in her own story.
I want to add one critique. I'm with you 100% up to the final piece where you said the remaining film. I would disagree and say the remaining film was on the festival once it gets to that last piece, because it's pretty much all of them doing the craziest things with the festival part.
Right. And I can agree on that. I think the problem is it wasn't a story about them experiencing the festival. It was like a director being like, okay, look at all the creepy shit we can do. Or writers being like, hey, yo, isn't this unsettling? Like, isn't this gross? And it's like, well, yeah, it's like person is now like an angel with their lungs as a wing. Like, this is, of course, unsettling.
I agree with you. The plot sucked.
Yeah, that's called a blood eagle. That is not an angel. I can attest to that one. Yeah, that's a Mexican/South American ritual.
Right, right, right. But it's easy to put something like that on the screen and make someone uneasy. So to me, it became like this, I hate to say it, but festival of showing you gross things just to get you to feel uneasy that felt very detached to the actual plot or story.
Well, so technically, back to what I said earlier about the blood eagle, it's also in Icelandic and Scandinavian stories as well, and in their history. So I think the biggest thing people are missing out on is that the ritual, how can I put it? This is very much a very methodical version of Children of the Corn. And the reason why I'm saying it like that is because they're worried about the harvesting for the next season to take care of their people. They're sacrificing the elders who are giving back to the earth with their bodies through their sacrifice to refertilize the earth. You have people who are coming out from an outside perspective into their way of how they handle their, you know, their festival to represent their body of land and their culture, who shouldn't have been there to begin with, but one of their friends being a part of the group invited them out. Danny's story is still about traumatic loss and processing the fact that Christian was basically an utter douchebag and not trying to help her process the grievances and loss of her family, even when they were calling for her in the movie and he told her to ignore them and everything would be fine, and it caused the family to die. Everything in the movie was really about psychological, about her going through basically a mental break, and the person that she needed to be there wasn't there for her because he was too busy being about his friends and just being together and talking about their schoolwork. And then they get invited by a mutual friend of theirs to come out to this festival. And that's, I feel like your guys' statements is good, but at the same time, I feel like there is a respect to Danny's story throughout the film that it is being, seeds are being planted, and it's coming more prevalent into the second act. And then it does become about the festival, but it becomes how she becomes the vocal point in the festival and how they make it about her, because it's still about that grief and loss where she's not getting the attention, the love, the affections that she needs to be a well-functioning human being because she's going through all this loss, and these people are giving her what she needs, quote-unquote. And I'm putting an asterisk there because it's in the weirdest way possible. There's definitely some balancing of story that Danny is a focal point. That's just my take.
Right, and it's not to say that the film didn't try and have Danny as the focal point, and I can see everything that you're saying, but the problem is it's not presented in that way. It is presented that way in the beginning of the film. I feel like a majority of the stuff that you said was focused more around the very beginning before they left to Sweden, and then maybe the first 10 minutes before they actually get into the weird rituals. I feel like everything you said is contained within that first section of the film, and after that, they really only ever touch on her grief once more, and that is when she sees her parents in the crowd after she becomes the May Queen. That is literally the only other time that they touch on her grief again, and I feel like that's disingenuous to the film and to its story and to its quote-unquote main character. I feel like the film forgot about its own story and got wrapped up in being a psychological thriller.
You're missing the fact of the sex ritual of Christian, because she needed him to be there for her and was trying to get that through his head throughout the movie, and he being drugged by the people during the dining ceremonies, multiple ceremonies, and she kept making looks at him saying, hey, to look him like, I need you, and he kept being distracted with the younger women and the actual elders. That is still part of the grief and loss, because she was trying to find a way to handle that trauma in connection of love by the person that she's been with for multiple years and has been basically distant and dejected of her. The fact that the people that she was becoming friends with were disappearing, and the fact that other people were basically trying to wedge themselves and pull her away from everybody. Like Pele, the part of the movie that I was going to talk about is, I, from what I've watched and what I processed, I have a feeling Pele actually organized their deaths because he wanted Danny for himself and saw how Christian treated her.
See, I, at the end of your bit there, I can 100% agree with you, is that Pele did organize this, because at the end of the film, when they're choosing the ninth for their sacrifice ritual thing, they were sent to get outsiders. It wasn't that they happened to be there. That is their job on their sort of expedition thing, like they're Mormons. Sorry, Mormon church. That's literally what their job was. And so he was supposed to bring outsiders. So that way there can be a mating ritual. So that way there can be additional sacrifices from the outside. They need four from the outside, four from within. And so that is 100% correct. When it came to the part of Christian being drugged and her reaching out, I didn't get that from watching that scene. And sure, maybe that is the implied bit of that scene, but that wasn't their surface level. And to me, it was more along the lines of Christian reaching out for help because he's drugged the fuck out. He's being used and abused at this point. He's been fed period blood. He's been fed pubic hair. He's been given runes that cast love spells and then been drugged pretty heavily. And I felt like more he was reaching out and not Danny.
Ah, so this is interesting how we have three different views. Okay, so the beginning of the movie bothered me. The reason was because that kind of trope where it's like the boyfriend's the douchebag. I actually think they were more effective in how they presented it, because I think depending on how you feel, you experience it differently. Because for me, I actually felt bad for both of them because he wanted to break up before any of this went down. I think this is sometimes the trouble that we have in the real real world is where we anchor our emotions in certain people. And if he's not ready for that, I don't know if I can really be mad at him and call him a douchebag for that stuff. Because I think for anybody, if you're with someone and their whole family dies from suicide, I don't know if you don't get trained this. You know, like when you're in high school and college, you don't take classes on how to help someone with grieving. Their relationship was already rocky to begin with. So not to dive on that too much, but I was in a very neutral position because I felt sorry for both of them. The other piece too to add is that I don't know if it was already planned for her to come. It was definitely planned for those four to come, but I think it was one of those, the opportunity was there, so he was happy for her to come with him. She was never a part of the original plan. But still, even with all that, through the rest of the film, I never felt sorry for anyone anymore. And the reason is because, I don't know, I guess like I felt sorry for everybody because I knew they're going to pretty much die. At some point, I was like, no one's going to get out of this. Or at least not in a, they're not going to be the same before they got there in a safe kind of way. So I guess for me, whenever I saw all that stuff, all my emotion for the people completely left. And at that point, I was just like, kind of going back to what Venture was talking about, I was like, they're going to probably try to find every weird thing that they can do. And they did.
And I feel like that's where the film lost its bearings, is it kind of lost track of the story it was trying to tell. And Regan, I know you disagree. To me, I feel like the film kind of lost its way in story aspect. Did it lose its way in horror aspect? No, it was actually pretty on brand for what they were trying to show and what the story was technically about, is going to this festival. That was on brand. Problem was, I don't feel like the story that they had set up connected well enough to what they were trying to tell and show.
I actually completely agree with you, Venture. I think one of the biggest issues I had with the film was it never felt truly connected, and it never felt like a lot of stuff panned out. I feel like they probably could have cut half. I feel like I say this traditionally with a lot of movies, but they could have cut half of the plot points and expanded on the other half. Like maybe start with her having that issue. Maybe it could have been only like four of them that left. Or even if they want to have that many people, I just don't like when you have too many people just to be fodder in a movie. I don't like that. I actually want to know about the characters. So I feel like they could have expanded more on the traditions and actually did a consistent way through the film with Danny. Because I can agree with Regent if you read into it, but it was one of those that I never got on the surface. I had to read into it. And I feel like if they brought that to the surface, I feel like instead of stressing it being a horror movie, it could be just one of those dark movies that has like an emotional thread line to take you from beginning to end.
Yeah, so that was one of my biggest problems with the film. One of the things that I will say they did very well is cinematography in this film is amazing. They did a really good job with camera angles, lighting, saturation. Music was pretty good too. And all of it worked together to give you this feeling of uneasy, feeling unknown. For instance, if you watch the beginning of the film again, the scene where they're driving the car through Sweden and the camera like flips upside down on the road to basically flip their understanding of the world on their heads. It was a pretty great way to tell emotion through a camera just using a road, which was great. And that was consistent throughout the film. The camera work was great. How'd you guys feel about the more technical aspect of the film?
I appreciated the music and the camera work because with the music, they actually was doing research on the festivals and making sure that it was tasteful to the festivals, like tone, sound, and instruments being applied. Driving music like build up and pay off for those critical moments when you find the bodies and where the story changes, where it's calm and feels unnerving and starts building up. I really did like the camera work. I really enjoyed the fact that they took their time. They showed plenty of angles as they could, but they didn't overdo it to where it feels like it's just quick cuts left and right. It felt like each particular type of angling position they used in the camera lens was trying to convey a specific tone or a representation of, we don't need to look head on at a person to really understand the dire effects of their situation. We can do side angles, we can pan out, anything like that to really make it feel, I would say, more natural in terms of that. So I really give props for taking the time to really process their camera work, really try to pull in more out of the movie instead of just, hey, here's an overview shot of the entire movie feeling like we're at a music festival. They really try to make it hone in to each of the characters, specific elders, to really make it feel like there was more than just it being a movie.
Yeah, and I can completely agree with Regent. To add to it, a couple other elements I really like is I do enjoy movies that have kind of like that opposite effect in their plots, where they showed so much visual like purity. It was a lot of things was so clean, nice and neat, but then there's so bloody and dark behind the scenes. I enjoy that kind of visual representation when they have stuff like that. And I feel like the movie did do a great job to convey that, where it was, everything looked so clean from a, not just like, oh, we just clean the tables because we're nice and neat, but it's clean because that's part of their ritual. I visually got that, and it's also very ironic for how in a lot of ways murderous, at least to us on the outside when we look at it, we're like, that y'all are sick and crazy, but to them it's all happiness, purity, harvest, all these things that we normally would think is good things, but they turned it on its head. I visually got, the only thing I really enjoyed in the film is that the visual presentation from beginning to end. And I loved the little subtle details that they did, especially with the graphics, because it took me a while to catch on. I was like, wow, are the flowers breathing? And then when I started seeing the table do little movements, the food start doing stuff, and I was like, oh, this is really cool, because they never made it so exaggerated that it was annoying to watch or anything or distracting. It was subtle enough to once again give you that uneasy feeling. Like, am I just tripping? Because sometimes when I was watching the movie, I was feeling that way. I was like, am I tripping right now? I was like, is that flower talking to me?
Yeah, the visual effects were really cool, especially the main flower on her head after she gets like that crown. That one was like perpetually breathing even when the rest stopped, which was really cool. And the visuals in this film, you're 100% correct, are really, really well done, between the cleanliness and the dirtiness of it. I would say it's a visually stunning film as far as like visuals go. But outside of that, there's not much for me to latch onto, even in the horror slash psychological horror elements of this film.
Did you both see and or process that out of the friends, each of their deaths was a representation of the elements for their seasonal harvest?
Yeah, I feel like they explained that, but I don't know if this is a well thought out answer, but my original reaction, which is why I hesitate, is that I feel like it wasn't effective enough for me to care. And usually I care about that kind of stuff because I want to know the plot, but I guess it was so disconnected where it was one of those, okay, I got you. And then that's kind of where it got settled in for me, because by the time we started getting to those pieces, it just felt like such a disconnected film that by near the end, it kind of goes back to what Venture was talking about. I was already prepping for, okay, you're going to show me something gruesome and you're going to have an excuse for what it is. And by then I was about ready for the film to be done. Hate to say it that way.
I did notice that they all died to their respective reasons. And again, I'm just going to echo Munster's sentiment. I feel like we're both on the same page here to some degree, to where it was cool at the moment of their deaths and their disappearance to be like, okay, this is relative to the actual story they're trying to tell. But the problem is once they died, they disappeared for so long, when their bodies finally emerged, you're like, oh yeah, they were in the film too. Like, I kind of just forgot about all of the other friends who were in the film who had died or gone missing. And then when they finally show back up, it was more shock factor, but also just shock that they actually were actually able to pull that thread back into the film. So for me, it didn't pan out at all.
Like I said earlier about it being like an adult version of the Children of the Corn movie series, I could definitely understand each of the characters' demises and the fact of the elements associated with it, but it also was kind of given away with the mural at the beginning of the movie, which was kind of like everyone's first take after watching the movies. They go back and saw the mural and they're like, oh crap, they literally gave the movie away in art form. Each of the characters' demises, I can totally see where they're coming from. Mark and Josh, easily, they were the easiest ones to point out based on their behaviors and what their attitudes, at least Josh's case, it was his intellectual ambition. Mark, his just disregard for things around him, social self-awareness. Connie and Simon, however, they were the ones that were a little bit harder of the process, because Connie's was just more of, she represented water because of the being wrapped in seaweed and being, you know, wet and blue. It had to take a little bit of processing to understand. It was the fact of she did not want to be mindful of the culture's ways, and they basically wanted to purge that mentality out of her through drowning. It's like a baptism, but it's to get the mindfulness of ignorance out of you versus to embrace their ways. Simon's death was probably the hardest one to process for Air, because a lot of his behaviors didn't necessarily represent Air until you saw him as the Blood Eagle and he started to literally breathe in front of Christian while being in pain. So I felt like those two deaths wasn't much of a hard sell of like, hey, their actions are going to represent this element. You had to really go through and think about and digest it and go, oh, this makes a ton of sense. Okay, that's kind of unnerving.
I do feel whenever you have a movie like that, I understand they want people to think about stuff, but I don't think it's bad sometimes to actually take time to explain that stuff, because with the way you explained that, I feel like I would enjoy the movie more with that explanation. So I actually want to bring in like one of my biggest flaws with the film too. So where I'm getting at is that I would have had no problem if we did have a central person we followed the whole time. And here's why I bring up the flaw is that there were times in the film that it felt like we were following their journey. The college kids, like we were following them and we were learning with them. But then there was times in the film where it kind of broke off and it showed stuff where, okay, they didn't know about it. So I don't know if we should know about it as an audience. You're kind of taking us out of it. And one of the best examples was when they panned from the screen, it's really early on while they were at the festival, and they panned over the cloth that showcased the whole ritual with the period blood and stuff like that. For me, none of them knew that. So I get the director did it for our sake, but it kind of took me out the film because I was like, okay, well, if I'm supposed to be learning with them, I shouldn't know extra stuff that they don't know.
And that is something I have a problem with the film. And here's how they could have fixed the film for me. If you want to showcase the deaths and being the different harvests and all of the different elements that they wanted you to really think about and sink your teeth into, there should have been either an additional character, or they could have drove Danny further into grief, further into madness, by having her be the one to kind of go through the actual village commune place and kind of just see everything, like see that little piece of cloth with the ritual on there, or discover the dead bodies and she goes to tell Christian and he's too wrapped up in his research for his thesis, or tell Josh and he's a little bit more interested, but that only gets him in more trouble. If you have someone discover these different ways and not just do it off screen and then bring them back later at the finale of the film, it has more impact in the film, but it also has more impact on you as a viewer, because you get to see someone discover these things and have a reaction versus having Christian, who is completely drugged up and basically has no reaction to it at all. So if we had had Danny discover Steven in that shed, or we had had Danny discover Josh buried in the garden, that would have been a lot more impactful than having a drugged up person who has no reactions find out.
I want to add one thing real quick to that is, and I would have been totally down for that. And at the end of the movie, to kind of lock it in as a dark element, is that she could almost even volunteer to pretty much become part of the group, because at that point, she's just given up. And she's just like, I would rather be somewhere. And it kind of is kind of a little bit hinted at, but I think it would be even darker if it wasn't the drugs and stuff that did it to her. It was more like she just full well knew, was like, either I could just kill myself, or, and I know that's pretty dark, but that's my point of the dark of the movie, is that she, like, for her, it was two options. Either I off myself, or I just become part of this group and just have a new home. And I, for me, from a entertainment watching standpoint, that would have been like really dark for me. And I would have been like, whoa, you don't see that often.
No. And I feel like either of those could have been a great fix to the film for what was lacking. And one of the biggest disappointments is the fact that I didn't give a shit about the other college kids, the friends, the ones that went missing. After they went missing, they didn't really have an impact anymore at all. Not even their disappearance had an impact.
I can tell you right quick, they never made them like, which bothered me in the film. They made all of them look real bad. And I hate when folks do that in a film. You got to make them likable in some form. Sure, you got to always have the douchebag, the asshole. But it's kind of like when we talked about Congium. It's like from the beginning, they were all assholes, you know, or like not likable, or they were obnoxious. Seeing them having to be killed, it just didn't feel so bad for them, because they were already pushing the limits, pissing on like their ancestors' graves or their ritual stuff. You got the dude who's obsessed when they tell him, hey, don't do this. Oh, I'm gonna do it anyway. We have all these kind of elements. It's like, I'm not gonna feel too bad. I ain't saying it's right, but I ain't gonna feel bad either.
Right. And that's a problem. Is one of the biggest ways that you can make a character likable is by actually diving into their character and or just not making them assholes from the beginning of the fucking film. Not making their first line, hey, dude, this girl who's going through a really mentally challenging time, you should dump her ass and then just go fuck someone else. That's how you immediately turn me off from a character. That is all I have to say on the film. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on? And we'll do our final wrap-ups if not.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and wrap my opinion on the film. With this movie, I don't know. It did not live up to the hype. It's definitely one of those. I think the movie, from a marketing standpoint, it was genius. And it's because it's that traditional idea of, oh, we have all this purity. Everything looks clean, crisp, so beautiful. We're having a festival. Everybody's smiling. But then when you know it's a horror movie and they're kind of keep hinting that there's something behind the scenes, it really entices you. Like, okay, I got to see what this is. It didn't pan out. Like, it's as dark as I thought it could be, I give them that. But the way it was presented and the disconnected, to me, it's not that great of a movie. It's a movie that sure can be entertaining to pass the time and you just be like, oh, wow, they're crazy. And with that, that's the best I can give is a low score. I don't think this movie is like a 7 or 8, like the ratings were out there. My final piece with the movie is I give it like a 4.5, and it's 100% because of the visuals. We've already said all our critiques, but I want to reiterate, if they could have just followed Danny from the beginning to the end and connected more of the pieces to her, made some of the, at this point I'll call them side characters, but some of the rest of the students to be more likable, that way it is more fucked up that happens to them, then to me it would have been a film where, yeah, it would have been much darker, but that was the point of the movie, and I would give it more points for that. Last piece is, this really isn't a movie I'm going to recommend anyone I know to watch. If someone asked me about it, I'd be like, if you want to watch it, sure, but I think there's way better stuff you can watch.
Region.
So my review is going to basically come down to, if you do enjoy a horror movie that makes you think more than you visually process, it is a solid movie to watch. It's not perfect or the ideal movie, but it is a really good thinker's movie if you peel between the layers. If you come from a background that you enjoy like classic horror movies and just the straightforwardness they provide, this isn't the movie for you. I would agree with Monster that I don't think it really lived up to the hype per se. I feel like this is going to be more of a cult classic movie, but rightfully should be based on the content it's trying to put out. I probably would comfortably give this a 7.5 out of 10 at best.
And I'm gonna go 5 out of 10. I feel like the very first three letters in this film is exactly how I feel about it. It is mid at best. It just doesn't offer anything super new. Number one, it's a remake. Number two, the horror aspect of the film just wasn't there for me at all. The thriller part, yes. Mystery wasn't there. There was a lot to be hyped up because the acting was phenomenal. We didn't really touch on that, but the acting was great. The music and cinematography is exactly what gives it a 5, but when it comes down to story, psychological elements, and horror, it's a no for me. It's gonna be one movie that I've watched once and then I never think about it again after this podcast. If you are looking for a movie that has a bit of gore in it and has some unsettling aspects to it, sure, give it a go if that's your cup of tea. But other than that, it's not really worth the watch. That's all we have to say. Region and Munster, thank you very much for joining.
Pleasure as always.
To the next one.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. If you did enjoy this episode, a like, share, or review on whichever platform that you're probably listening to this episode on is greatly appreciated. It is an absolutely free and wonderful way to help support the podcast, and we would love it if you did so. There are also links in the description below for all of our social medias. We currently have a poll up for our Christmas films, and we have something very, very special planned for that. So please go vote for your top 3 favorite Christmas films. And again, thank you very much for listening. If you did enjoy, thank you. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye.